You're listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. You can find more information about Battle Ready and Addison Free Will Baptist Church on our website, addisonfwbchurch.org/Battle Ready Bible Study. Battle Ready Podcast, believing what it says.
Remain calm. Act like you know what you're doing.
Like we have never done this before. This is our very first
time.
Yeah.
Oh, act like you've been there before.
Welcome back to Battle Ready. I'm sorry. We're just having that kind of an evening this evening. I'm glad you joined us. I hope you got your Bibles with you. We want to open up because we're going to continue. This is the second part of Matthew 13. Chapter 13, we're going to start about verse 24, I think is where we left off last week. So I'm going to ask Laura. She's going to start asking me questions.
Bear
with us today.
So I want you to tell me about a place that you have been that I have not been that you think is very beautiful and worth seeing.
Colorado.
Okay. So when you try to tell me what Colorado is like, I already gave it away. You're going to tell me what it's like. You're going to say, because I've never been there. I've never seen it. I don't know what to expect. You're going to start telling me what it's like. So tell me what it's like.
It is mountainous, the part I was in. It was beautiful. You could see the Rocky Mountains for miles before you ever got to it. The water is blue instead of green. It was just when I was there, which has been a long, long, long time ago, it was just one of those clear, fresh, open places that I really liked.
So when you're telling me that,
a lot of color in that.
I can imagine it because I've seen places like that on TV, or I've seen places like that in real life that aren't quite like that. But the truth is, I've never been there, and I honestly have no idea really what you mean. I only know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Our king in Matthew, we've said this is the book about the king, has been trying for a couple chapters now to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't tell you exactly what it is because you haven't started it yet.
You haven't seen it.
He said he sent out his 70 to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. Or we're getting ready to get this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are coming in to follow him. But he keeps saying in parables, it's like this. It's like this. It's mm-hmm. like this. And every time he tells us what it's like, he tells us, you start, there are mountains and the water and the sky and the, mm-hmm. I can only tell you the pieces of it, and I can only compare them to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something true in each one of those comparisons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are halfway through chapter 13. The first half of chapter 13 told us that the kingdom of heaven was like these sower with seeds, this ground.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I want to say just in review of that was, what did we learn about the kingdom of heaven from that story? What is it like?
Well, Jesus is sending it out to everybody. And some of the seeds will land in good places, and some of that gospel won't.
So what struck my heart with a little bit of terror,
mm-hmm.
but it's truth because it's in red letters, and mm-hmm. it's the whole book is the truth, but this is especially, sit up and pay attention. What he's telling you in the very first what it's like is not everybody's going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Because some things will get choked out, some
and it's
won't
not
care.
Because the sower is doing a bad job. He's doing his job.
It's not because
the seed is bad, because the seed is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ground it's going to fall on that is not open to it, that doesn't want, and he goes on to say, doesn't want to see it, doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to understand it. Mm-hmm. And they won't.
But there's also a little cautionary tale in there for the people who do believe it, because some bring forth 30, some bring forth 60, right? They don't all
bring forth the same amount. Didn't get it
mm-hmm.
than did.
Yeah, of what, four or five different
and
kinds.
And it wasn't because the sower didn't offer it to them,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't because what was offered wasn't good. It's because who received it didn't want it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They chose the deceitfulness of riches that we talked about last week. They chose that hardened heart not mm-hmm. to let it in.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to let it be snatched away from them because they were unfaithful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
right?
even to the ones
they chose
who
to
did
avoid the
it.
Persecution of being different so that they didn't have to stand
but
out.
Even
and
to the ones who did take it, it's different because
that's true.
Some were 100.
But they bore fruit.
60 and 30, right? They are not all, even as he spreads out this gospel seed, it doesn't,
this
even,
word of
even
God.
The one, yeah, the word of God doesn't. Mm-hmm. Produce the same, it does the same end goal, but 30, 60, 100 we're even different a little bit in how much we're bringing forth when we do accept
Which,
it.
Again, is not the seed's fault or the sower's fault.
No.
It's the receptiveness fault, mm-hmm. right? It's no. what we have that we've allowed it to do in our life, okay?
Yes.
So that's cautionary.
Mm-hmm, I think
and
so,
then
too.
We get to verse 24, and he switches the picture. So, okay, so it's like this. It's like a sower sowing seed. It's like that. Here's what else it's like. It's also like, and this is another agriculture analogy, mm-hmm. right? This mm-hmm. is another analogy of that. He said, it's also like this. Even, and I feel like I said this last week at the end of what we talked about, the first one was like this broad, he's scattering the seed everywhere. I feel like the second one narrows it down to that soil where it's growing, mm-hmm. right? Where it mm-hmm. did take hold. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean they accepted the word of the Lord. They let mm-hmm. it go down deep and become part of their life. Mm-hmm. And it's growing and it's bearing fruit. It's doing its thing. So now as we zoom in,
I'm just starting to see
it's also like
picture.
This, right?
So let's start. That's at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13. Open up your Bibles. Join us as we read through. Verse 24 says, another parable put he forth, he being Jesus, unto them, saying, and who is he talking to here? He's talking to the disciples. They came unto him, and they wanted to know what these things meant, right? He's talking to them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Okay. And but while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? My words, in thy field. From whence then hath it tares? Where'd they come from? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, get rid of the tares, pull them out, get rid of them? But he said, no, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
So if I had to say the moral of the first one was, here's what I want to understand about the kingdom of God. You can miss it.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I would say, here's what you need to know about the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's hard to tell who's on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's really confusing.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of this. I don't know if anybody that's listened to us have seen this picture. But there's a picture that goes around on the internet of this field of wheat that tares are planted in. And it shows that when it's time for the harvest, this wheat kind of bows down. It goes
mm-hmm.
over.
I've seen that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the tares stand straight up. So just like this story tells us, when it's time to harvest,
mm-hmm.
it'll be very obvious. But the whole time they're growing together,
they don't know. Mm-hmm.
They look very similar.
And not only are
they look
when
the
they're
same,
growing
they're
together, don't forget that in the first parable, part of it was the thorns and things that grew mm-hmm. up. So the tares are in amongst this wheat, taking away the nutrients and the stuff that the wheat needs.
And I want
right?
to make sure that we agree. The tares are religious,
mm-hmm.
but the tares yes. are not saved.
But the tares are not saved.
They're very religious.
Well, they have to be. Because
and they're so entwined with the religious community that at the whole early season of growing, you can't tell a bit of difference.
You don't know any difference. And matter of fact, at the reaping time, he sends people in who can tell the difference.
Because only then.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I can separate. Now it's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it obvious is now it's time for the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've gotten to the end of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is you start out being very the same, but the longer they grow, the greater the division.
Mm-hmm.
The greater the division.
And,
but
and
a
I'm
lot
sure
of times I think if you looked at it in the beginning, very knowledgeable farmers might know the difference. But the average person walking by goes, there's a field of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
The comment is made by these people. I don't know if it's here or in another gospel where it's written, but it's like, what are people going to say? They're going to say you sowed bad seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to mock the sower.
Did you not sow good
right.
seed in the field?
You know, like, this is going to be an embarrassment to you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
because there's bad seed in your field.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do whatever we got to do to get rid of the bad plants that are growing. And he's like, no, You can't do that because of it. And people ask this all the time. They'll say, you know, why, if God is good, why does he allow evil? And we can go through all the arguments all we want to do, and I don't mean to make short of it or make light of it, but the truth is, if God removes evil, there's no one left.
There's no one left.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That includes us.
So God says, I don't want you to damage the wheat. I don't want you to damage what I've sown with my word that's growing, that's accepted it, that's, it has it inside. You can't just tear it up. I'm going to protect them, but the only way to protect them is allowing it to grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing both to be unharmed
until
it's time for the harvest. Mm-hmm. Until it's time. And I just think...
I think the church misses that sometimes too.
So this kingdom is like... Sometimes it feels like confusion. Because you can be a believer in Jesus Christ. And you can look around you at other believers and think, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why do I feel so different than what I'm seeing?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it feel like nobody cares about what's going on here? Or nobody's... serious about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a lot of tares you're looking at.
Maybe they're around you and you don't realize.
Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But maybe there are a lot of tares growing in your field and you've surrounded yourself with people who don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They look religious. They're among the religious, but they don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't have that love that's going on between themselves and the Lord. And you're like, okay, well, we're religious, but there's a fundamental difference here. We're not the same.
We're not the same.
Yet, it's not my job to uproot them.
Right. I agree with that.
Right?
But I think, too,
it's not my job to judge
them. If you look back over church history, don't you see those tares that are sown in amongst the church when, you know, things happen because of religion and that's not the way it should have been at all? I mean, there's an effect of these tares being in this wheat. Not immediately, right, where they're all just all growing up, but there's an effect.
Religion is a political tool. Religion is a power play. Religion is, right, control over other people. Religion can be that.
Yes, it can.
Salvation is not the same plant.
It is not the same plant at all.
It's not the same species.
Mm-mm.
So we grow together, and people say, now, if the church does that, then how can the church be right about anything?
Mm-hmm.
If the church allows this, if the church is involved in that,
mm-hmm.
and you think, wait a minute, the church from the very beginning, in the New Testament church, there were tares.
Oh, right.
Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. John talks about it.
They all talk about it.
They talk about the fact that there are people growing along with us that are sowing these things. It's like, where did you come up
with
that?
And how could you so quickly be changed from this faith?
And it becomes this thing where, like, you need to... Paul talks, I think he calls it the pure word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need to get in the scripture and understand the pure word of God, the message of the gospel, right? Which is not simple. It's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so, God has made it so clear that you can't mess it up if you wanted to. If you want to see it,
what you don't
first
mess it,
first
right.
first picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see it, if you want to hear it, if you want to understand it, if you want to continue doing what you're doing, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You'll miss it.
I agree with that.
You'll miss it. And if you are religious but you're not in a relationship, you're a tear.
I saw that on a meme someplace in the last week where they roll their eyes because someone says it's not religion, it's a relationship. It's like, oh, but that's the truth. I mean,
I know
you're sorry.
Heard it.
I know that it wears you out to hear that.
But you're in the same field.
Yeah.
You know, when God speaks to unbelievers, when Jesus speaks to unbelievers in the New Testament, his judgments aren't harsh.
Mm-hmm.
He draws.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When he speaks to the unbelievers, he is kind, he is compassionate, he is drawing. When he speaks to false religion,
he gets
his
very
harshest
stern.
Criticism, his greatest anger is directed toward people who have a form and a fashion but no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the people that are in the same field, for all intents and purposes, they look like the same plant, but they're not the same plant. They've been sown to the enemy. The enemy is saying, this is all about you.
And
this is all about
too,
your works.
Did
this
you
is
notice
all about
too,
you.
It says, but while men slept.
Yeah. While we weren't paying attention.
When we weren't looking. When we weren't thinking about
and
it.
And again,
we
I want to say when you get to the end, it's not the wheat that pulls out the tares. It's God and his angels
That's
that
right.
take care of that situation.
That's right.
Like, it's not my job to run the tares off.
Nope.
It's just not.
And we've said that before, because I can't read the heart.
I can't.
I don't know what the heart is.
If I do that, I do what he says in the beginning. You destroy both.
Mm-hmm.
You destroy both together if you start doing it. That's God's job.
He says,
and
let
God
them
has
both
his,
grow together
his plan for
until
this.
The harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Jesus is saying this. I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
And again, I mean, it's not stated in this parable, but the answer is in this parable, because the answer is all through the New Testament. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you're a tare? Well, you have to be born again. Mm-hmm. You got to start over. If that tare is what's growing, if that's what you've absorbed, that's what you're allowing to grow, mm-hmm. that's what you are, that has to be uprooted.
You just got to get rid of that.
And it has to be the Word of God growing in you, bearing mm-hmm. fruit, mm-hmm. that makes you what God has planted and is in His kingdom.
So it's kind of building,
you know,
on
it
each
is.
Other. You're building on the fact that
the like
Word is out there.
I feel mm-hmm. like we zoomed in on that plant growing in the good soil.
Haven't we done that? Like,
right?
When you see this taught, like, I love this because I do, I'm a nerd. But when you see them teach on space or a planet, you've got the whole thing, and then you go, okay, now here's this, and here's the moon, and here's the, you know, and in what you're saying, that's how these parables are acting in my
yeah.
brain too.
And then you get
it is out place. There. You mm-hmm. can have it. You can be good soil if you want to be.
You know what? The seed's going everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's not hidden.
But it's only those that receive it that want to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that. He said, right? You're gonna those that have ears to hear, those that have eyes to see, those that want to understand. You choose what kind of soil you are, unlike, you know, regular. You mm-hmm. choose what you're going to be, whether you're going to take in that word that's been given to you, that measure of faith God's provided you to believe with,
well,
or not.
Well, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the first sower. Mm-hmm. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away them which that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside.
And what I was referring to was the chapter ahead of that, when he tells the Pharisees, mm-hmm. you don't want to understand.
You don't want to hear it.
You don't want to see
them,
it. You don't want
to
understand
it. I talk to you
it.
In parables because
right. because they don't want to hear it. They
mm-hmm.
don't want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You decide that.
Yep, I agree
but
with that.
But I think, like, we're going to be shocked.
Who's
I think.
There?
I think when the harvest does come, and God knows, and his angels know, heaven knows.
Who's the tare and who's the wheat?
Heaven knows. Those that belong to the enemy and those that belong to the Lord. The king knows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But in his wisdom has allowed so he doesn't damage mm-hmm. those that are his.
Mm-hmm.
He uses the tares, right? He when I say uses, for his purpose to protect his own.
Mm-hmm.
He allows it to grow together until it's time. We're going to be shocked. And I don't even want to start guessing or speculating who's left standing and who's in the barn
and
who's
not.
Cast out. And because it's going to look like
they're all in this together.
We're all the same.
And we're right? not all the same.
And we're not all the same. And the only reason we're not the same, don't forget, is the seed that's been sown. It's not because there's some really good people out there and really bad people. It is because the seed was received. And the plant has begun to grow, and the plant is bearing fruit. He says, these are the ones of my kingdom. Those are these plants growing. How do you get in the kingdom? The word of God implanted in you,
mm-hmm.
right? Who and comes and lives inside of you.
The lies around you, right?
There's all kinds of lies
they
around you.
They love to sow the lies around you.
Do you think, seriously, I'm not trying to exaggerate. I know people always say this. But have you ever lived in a time when to be a Christian was more confusing?
No, you are right.
Like when there was
because
more untruth around
you. Because you have to, right? You have to, we say that a lot in Sunday school class here. You have to know what the Bible says. You can't logically think or think like God or rightly divide the word if you don't ever know what
and
it says.
And since I can't memorize,
since I can't
memorize every word that's in here, I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
I'm not always right in front of this with the exact words I need to say. But the Holy Spirit of God lives within me.
And that's what his job does.
And yes. his job is to show me truth from error. And but he's got to do that a lot because there is a ton of error mm-hmm. all around you all the time.
Well, you've got to let everybody have their own say, right? Right? I mean, that's one of the ones. There's lots of ways to heaven. No, that's not what it is.
Again,
right?
And when we say that, these are religious looking things. Mm-hmm. These aren't obviously evil
and
things.
Remember, Jesus says somewhere, I don't know exactly where to point it out, but he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And he says, depart from me, I know you not. I don't know you, right? You're not mine.
Yeah.
Because you didn't take the seed and
It's that's what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The rooted word of God, mm-hmm. indwelling, right? Salvation, born again, new thing. I was dirt, and God planted something here, right? Mm-hmm. He planted something here. That's the difference, and the only difference. But it's amazing how that they will look the same. I don't know how to say that. I don't know how far to go because I don't want to be self-righteous. I don't want to say anything that's self-righteous. But I am easily fooled by tares.
I am too. I would have to say I am too.
I am easily fooled by tares. I think, what's going on here? I'll be in a situation, what's happening here? That why doesn't this work? Mm-hmm. Right? And the truth is, we're not the same.
We're not the same. And that's a hard thing. I think that's a hard lesson for a new Christian to learn.
Yeah.
But it's a lesson that an older Christian forgets. You think you start to forget that they're not all the same. It's not my job to figure out who's who.
It's not talking about the imperfect either. It's just talking about we're not the same. We're not growing in the same direction. Mm-mm. We don't have the same response to the sun. When the sun comes and the wheat bows down and the tares rebel, mm-hmm. right? We don't have the same response. We just don't.
No.
So there's a difference.
There is a difference. And then he goes right. on with another comparison.
Okay, so we're going to learn something new because this is a completely new. Again, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I got to say, again, I'm repeating a lot of things. I'm sorry. When we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're not talking about when we die necessarily. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven
right here.
Because he's the king and all who belong to him are his people, mm-hmm. are his own. So when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, how does the rule of Christ work? What does it look like? What does it feel like? They've never had that before. Mm-hmm. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one, the king. Mm-hmm. How does this work, Jesus? It's like this, mm-hmm. right? That's what he's doing.
He's trying
to
tell
this.
Us something that the scripture says in a lot of ways we can't even imagine.
So how do we do that? How do we do that with our kids? If we were going to teach something really difficult to our kids, don't we tell them a story? Mm-hmm. Don't we say, you know...
And
are you with me?
Yeah, and we say
I tell you, don't talk to strangers. And I tell you, Little Red Riding Hood, right? And I tell you, what? Don't let them in. Mm-hmm. Don't let in people you don't know. Don't put yourself in that situation where someone can do you harm. Because not everybody means well for you, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing Jesus is saying to his disciples here. He's saying, listen, this is how it's going to work. People are going to miss it. That's hard to hear as a believer because you think, I told you this the other day, I am a big tent person. I want everybody in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why people don't want Jesus. Mm-hmm. Can't get it, right?
Don't understand
but the truth is, and Jesus told us, not everybody wants to get it. Mm-hmm. And when they don't want to get it, they won't. Mm-hmm. He's preparing me for that. There will be people that we will tell the gospel to with everything we've got, and they'll say no thanks.
Mm-hmm. And they do.
And it'll be snatched
away.
And we
have seen people who...
And I can't fathom it because I can't imagine anything better than him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know
and
what you're looking
for. Do, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and then he's telling us here, the same time, there will be people that say yes, that walk alongside you, that say that they've accepted that truth, and haven't. Mm-hmm. They're planted by the evil one. The only thing they're there for is to cause pain and trouble.
And they do.
And to take away resources. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a terrible...
But
at the
true.
Same time, he's saying, and what do we do about that, Lord? Nothing. I'll take care of it.
I'll take care of it.
You just trust me and let me take
part,
care
right?
of it.
It's always the right? hard part to not feel like we have to do something. He does that. But you're right. He tells them when to go. He tells them when
yep.
it's time.
He tells them what to do. I'll take care of that. What is he telling me then? Be aware.
Mm-hmm. No.
Be aware that you're going to be in a world of religious people mm-hmm. who don't know the Lord at all, mm-hmm. right? And that it's going to be a little confusing unless you keep your eye on the Son. And on the King, it's going to be a confusing situation. You're going to think, "What's going on?"
Wow.
Don't be shocked when you feel that way because He told you you're going to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He did, in fact. That's exactly what he's saying.
And
he's telling his disciples so they know too.
Why are they behaving like that? Because they're tares.
And I think,
just because
I know that
tares.
Picture, the picture that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The reason that is such a powerful picture is because the tares the wheat bends.
Yeah, bends to the will of the sun.
To the will of the sun, to the rain, to what it went, it'll bend, but not the tares. They just stand up really straight because they think they've already got all everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a scary.
It's interesting.
It's kind of a scary analogy in itself.
Again, right, I'm not the tare identifier.
No, me either.
I'm just the person keeping my eyes on the sun. That's what I'm doing, and allowing God to take care of that. So then he says, here's the next mystery.
Here's another one, verse 31.
It's like this.
He says, another parable. Let me tell you one more. So it's, you're hoping that the children, as you're telling these stories, start to get it.
Okay, right? I haven't been to Colorado, but I can picture what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can identify it when I get there.
And when I get there,
I'll go, oh, that's what she meant.
That's right.
That's what the Bible's about.
That's
I'm telling you right now, that's what it's about.
That's what
prophecy
it is.
Is that. Prophecy is, okay, here's what it looks like.
And
when you see it, the little hairs will stand up on your arms and you say, oh, that's what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
I got it now.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
And that's what's happening
here. And it
should
happen to us every day. Even, I mean, we've had lots of lengthy discussions about that, but things that you know when they actually happen and you...
And you identify God's hand in it.
You hear it and you see it and you recognize...
And it's unmistakable that was only God.
Then you do.
Yeah.
It builds that faith we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. That trust that you have in what the Bible says. And, you know, if you start off with the idea that this is inerrant, this is the Word of God, this is what it is, sufficient, then when you do come across the situation that is exactly what he said would happen if you did this, or if you did the right or did the wrong, whichever one, and when you realize you've just done that.
Because he meant what he said.
He meant what he said. He always means what he says.
He always does.
And you have to start with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think sometimes when the tares are in the field, I often wonder how often they take a little strength away from that root of the wheat a little bit. They take that away. You got to watch the tares because they're the ones that will start to say, in some regards, they will say, you know, well, he didn't mean that. He didn't.
Well, they will, but I can't watch them.
I can't watch them, right? And I have to
believe
what
this
says.
Right?
The Word of God, I think the biggest thing for Christians, and this is just me kind of over in left field a little bit, is that we think someone's going to find something that's going to prove the Bible wrong. It is not going to be ever proved wrong. It is the Word of God, breathed by the Holy Ghost, given to us to use. I don't have to worry that it's going to be found wrong. And I think we do as Christians worry, oh, well, what if they're not going to find anything wrong? If they are looking at the Word of God, they might want to. They may act like they have, but it's not going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, this is Jesus still talking to his disciples. Here's another one, guys.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof.
Okay, so here I am, all right? We're building,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to be in it. Even among his people,
mm-hmm.
not all of them are his people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
Even growing in that very field. And then the next thing, so your disciples sitting there, and it doesn't say they said this, but you're sitting there thinking, so how would we know then? You know, how if it's a mixed field, if it's a mixed multitude,
mm-hmm.
then how do I know the kingdom of God, Lord? How do I know what I can trust mm-hmm. and what I can't trust? How do I know? And the answer mm-hmm. is, here's how you identify it, children. Here's the next thing. It's like this little grain of mustard, right? He's like, it's not the dirt.
It's
the seed. And it seems like this little thing that couldn't do anything possibly gets implanted. But then when it grows, mm-hmm. what you'll notice about the kingdom of God is it will give strength and support and protection.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God holds up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The culture. It lifts up.
It does.
You look at what the kingdom of God has done through history, in medicine, in science, in philosophy,
mm-hmm.
In compassion for other people. And other have we all gotten it right? No, there's tares in the field. Right?
Excuse me,
kingdom of God supports, is strong. These birds, they can trust in it. They are protected in it, mm-hmm. right? So these other things of God's creation are uplifted in this thing. And it starts out, you think, well, that little thing can't do anything. And it becomes this, because of the information inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Becomes this mighty, strong protector and lifter.
And.
Right?
Now, I'm going to step over here again for a second. But birds are usually, and this is where these next two parables make me go, sorry, I've got the hiccups, made me go, because birds usually represent something bad.
Yeah, evil. I'm not sure here.
I'm not saying it does, but it, excuse me, if I follow your analogy on through, as this kingdom grows, yes, it draws other things into it. It even draws the skeptics and the, you know, other worldviews into
it. But it's able.
But it holds them.
He's saying, here's what it is, right? That mustard seed is so small, it's so tiny, seems so insignificant, but it doesn't stay insignificant. The kingdom of God
is going
again,
to grow.
Like the wheat and the tares, with the growth of it, becomes more easily identifiable, right? Unmistakable.
And when it is grown, we haven't
seen
the end of
that
yet. So
when you're telling the disciples, you're telling the early church, you're telling our church, how do you recognize the kingdom of God? Growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see it. It's not over yet. It's not full size yet.
If you don't see growth, maybe they didn't get the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe the seed's not been implanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because a Christian, you're not going to be perfect. You are going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You are going to grow. And the growth is going to be significant.
But
if you're exactly
the
same as you were before you came to Christ, there's a problem.
But the seed is not me. The seed is
this
kingdom.
It's never said it was me, but it's what he's doing in me.
And the kingdom,
and there has got
to
be growth and change.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
It doesn't stay a mustard seed.
I absolutely agree with that. But I also think that these, 11 men and that turned the world upside down start that little seed growing, right?
But they didn't stay a little seed.
They didn't stay, because the church is everywhere now.
These fishermen from Galilee
who turned the
spread out
through
the world, plant churches, establish the kingdom of God.
But is it done growing?
World.
I don't think so. Right?
But,
it's not
but
done
that's,
growing yet.
That's, listen to me. That's a, first parable was a warning. Second parable was a warning.
Third parable
is a warning. Because this says, you know what? If you're not growing, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a big problem.
Because the church is going to grow.
Because the church is going to grow. It starts with that little, that grain of faith.
And it should be pulling people to it. It should be, we should be drawing
and
men
lifting
to
them up.
Isn't that what he said he would do?
Yeah.
He would, if you lift him up, he'll draw all men to him, right? That's what it's supposed to do. Can you imagine? Excuse me, I'm sorry, I've got the hiccups. Can you imagine sitting there and listening to Jesus tell these stories and just trying to envision blue water instead of green?
Right.
Right? Because it's just like...
But it does feel like this. Like, okay, now what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to know what he means.
Mm-hmm. Before they die, they'll know
and they're remembering what he said, and they're writing it down and telling us. They're going back to those stories and say, okay, now, this is true, what he told us.
And remember what they thought the king was going to do. Mm-hmm. Right? The king was supposed to come in... Excuse me, and throw off the reign of Rome. They were supposed to come in and set them all free and move them all. And then
the commentator, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay then.
But the commentator in my Scofield Bible, he writes this. This isn't, you know, inspired scripture or anything, but he calls these the mysteries, the mystery, the mystery. I believe they were. I believe when they're receiving them, they're like, okay, that's what it's like. But they haven't made it to Colorado yet. The mystery is going to be identified later. But they're hearing the mystery.
And don't forget that in, what is it, Isaiah 51, 53, that suffering servant, they didn't get, understand that. So the church itself, the church age itself is kind of a hidden mystery that's being opened up. And Jesus is like, no, come
just
on.
Just a side note. The cutting edge information in biology this week. They discovered something that's just out of this world. I got to tell you about this. So, you know, we know about DNA. We know about genes. Genes encode information, right? Give us what we are, everything about us in every cell of our body, right? Genes are an amazing thing. And they thought, okay, it's the genes that do it all. The big revelation that came out of science this week was that the genes are very important, But it's this, there's something in the cell that we can't identify that is doing it all, not the genes. And it picks and chooses what it wants to do, and it with an intelligence inside the cell itself. It's like, no, what is this intelligence? Now they say, you know, they said it's the divinity of the cell. That was the word that came. The divinity of the, well, the cell is what's doing it. Is that it? But it was just this thing where, like, it's almost like there's an intelligence that chooses exactly what it wants out of all this information, and it's already
by
had
him,
a plan,
all
and
things
it does.
Consist-
and I was just like. You sit there as a Christian and you hear these things. You said before, you're never going to find anything that proves the Bible wrong.
No.
You consistently find discoveries that say the information came from a source. The mastery and the intelligence and the plan mm-hmm. and the, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see when I think about these seed. When he keeps going to the seed, mm-hmm. I don't know what they understood but about the seed in that time. But I know what we've learned by this time, and maybe they already knew. I don't know. But what we've learned about the seed this time is like the enormous amount of information encoded in that seed. And yet the seed itself dies and goes away mm-hmm. so that the information can be reproduced in every cell of that plant. And I'm always like, when Jesus is telling them this, everything we learned since then just gives him more glory.
Just gives it more
and makes it more true that we mm-hmm. talk about the faith of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he has? You know what a seed has the faith to do? To die to itself and become something else.
He didn't pull.
Right?
Jesus didn't pull up a chalkboard and start writing out big formulas.
No,
and all
but
that
what
stuff.
He said just
he
keeps
takes
growing.
A little seed that probably they're very commonly.
But we say, oh,
with.
That little seed is nothing, and Jesus is telling, that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Because this little seed probably has more information stored in it.
All the information to do this, mm-hmm. right, is
right
in
here.
That little seed.
That little bit of faith. That little bit of
right?
stuff.
Yeah. And in our faith is the ability, ha, this gets all over me. We talk about the king and the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't say we're peasants.
No, he did not.
He said the church is the bride.
Mm-hmm.
We're the queen.
It's about time.
And in the church,
I'm teasing.
Not are we the queen. In the church, we're his children.
We're joint
heirs with
Jesus.
The whole group, and in it are his children. We're the family of God. In that little nothing of faith, we think nothing of faith, to accept him
mm-hmm.
is the treasure and the truth and the mystery of the universe.
Of it all. Of everything.
Just the faith, the belief that he is who he said he is, mm-hmm. and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In that tiny little grain.
And he tells us that.
Is
and
all
yet
of
we
it.
Go, oh, well, I wait. It's not that big
yeah.
a deal.
Oh, it that's is. Such a small little seed. That doesn't mean anything.
It's a very important
seed. It's a very important seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
the word of God implanted.
The biggest part of that, too, is what we've said, and I know we've said it before, and we've said it a couple times, but as it gets bigger grows into this tree, it draws people to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Gives him glory.
And we should be wanting people to come to him.
It's strength. It's growth. Mm-hmm. It is alive. It's not the dead little seed in a jar. It's living.
And he even says, which indeed is the least
it bears
of all seeds.
Fruit,
it's the
right?
least seed. But God, right? But when it's grown.
But nothing.
But
right?
when it's grown.
But nothing.
It's greatest
What's
among
happening?
Herbs and becomes a tree.
And then we have another mystery.
Now, here we go. One
more.
Here
we go,
another
mystery. What else is it
leaven.
Like?
Leaven. All right. Mostly time in Scripture, leaven represents sin. But in this case, if
it represents
we're keeping
us.
With the thought, it's
His
representing
children.
That growth and that expanding that we've talked about already. But
okay.
listen to what he says. Another parable spake he unto them. This is verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, I want to say, I can't find the reference. I can't find it because that's one of the things I was looking for. But I do recall that in a Bible study of someone who is in Jewish history, he said that amount of meal, that three measures of meal would be enough to feed over 100 people. It's like 60 pounds of flour. It's not like 2-3 cups. It's like a huge amount of flour. I just said that because I think that it's interesting in the story. When we read it, it makes you feel like it's a very, again, that's still a small thing. Even if it feeds 100 people, that's very small compared to the world, right? All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables,
and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's a very big sentence in this chapter.
I've been on a bread making kick.
I love making bread.
I've been making whole grain, whole wheat bread, and it's taken me so many failures to get it to where it really, really tastes good. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it.
I really want to do the sourdough, and when we get into how sourdough is made, that's exactly what.
And
this
I'm
is
glad you mentioned sourdough because when I make bread, I go to the fridge, I get a jar, and it's already got the yeast encapsulated in it, and I put it in the warm water. Right? I'm just, mm-hmm. go through it with me. And then I add the stuff, and then the yeast itself disappears. Mm-hmm. Right? It disappears because what you see in that jar has got a coating on it. Mm-hmm. That's not the yeast. And the coating in the warm water melts off. Mm-hmm. And the yeast is invisible. Right? Mm-hmm. So then the yeast, when I add the flour and I put it in the sugar and the oil and I put that all in there, the yeast is completely invisible. I no longer see the yeast. Mm-hmm. I only see what the yeast does. Mm-hmm. In that way, mm-hmm. the kingdom of heaven is not drawing attention to itself, mm-mm. but by what it does,
it's expanding,
expands and changes. You see the work mm-hmm. of the kingdom of God. That is not the way they made bread. That's why I'm glad you said sourdough, mm-hmm. because they didn't have the little jar of encapsulated yeast, right?
They
took the old bread dough. But the old bread dough. Mm-hmm.
Saved a piece of it.
And then you take, so you've got this huge amount that you said of the fresh meal. Mm-hmm. And you would say, I'm going to put a little tiny bit mm-hmm. of what was already alive mm-hmm. in what is dead, mm-hmm. right?
And make it alive.
And then it's going to disappear in all this meal. And I'm not going to readily identify that the yeast is doing anything at all. But then I'm going to see things start changing. Mm-hmm, and they're going to start expanding. It's not mm-hmm. going to have the same structure. It's not going to have the same flavor. It's not going to mm-hmm. have the same taste. It's going to do this thing where there's not one spot. When I make bread, there's not one spot in that dough not affected by the yeast.
That's correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's not one part. If you do it right, there's not. Even if you don't do it right.
It still does.
It still affected it. It still went. It went through the entire. I cannot take the yeast back out.
Mm-mm. No,
right. I can't remove it
because you can't.
Again, like the wheat and the tares, I cannot remove it back mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And yet, it has changed absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. This kingdom of God will be known
not just by the growth, but by the change.
Mm-hmm. And the true kingdom of God changes the flavor of this world. Changes. Mm-hmm. It gets involved in every single thing, mm-hmm. right? It makes mm-hmm. a difference. I've thought a lot of times when we talk about the rapture of the church, when God takes his people out of here, mm-hmm. what consequence that would be. Because the church of God, whether you know it or not, it is beloved of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. It is. God loves the church. God uses the church. Mm-hmm. Those that belong to God are the flavor, mm-hmm. are the changers, are the ones that make it, their presence known in this world, not drawing attention to themselves, but to the work. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly.
Jesus.
And when that's withdrawn, I've thought about that. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize what difference the world is going to look like when mm-hmm. God's people aren't here anymore.
I agree with that.
When the kingdom of God is gone out of this place.
I even think that works down even to a personal one-on-one level, because I think businesses and...
They don't even know they're blessed.
They don't even know they're blessed because
they have people there
who believe in God and who...
They'll think it's because they're so clever.
And they've come up with
such a great program. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, God will bless his people no matter where they are.
That's right.
And remember when Joseph's in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's blessed. He's in the prison's blessed. Mm-hmm. He's in Pharaoh's house, the Pharaoh's blessed.
That's true.
Wherever he is, there's blessing for everybody around him. Why? Because God loved Joseph.
Mm-hmm. And he
right? God right. loved Joseph.
That's right.
And God loves us. And the kingdom of God is blessed. People don't even realize mm-hmm. how preserved they are. The flavor of their life, the protection that comes.
I think of Junior.
That's who I think of. The expansion.
When I think of Junior and him working where he worked, and he still has an influence on the people that he's been around. He still has that influence.
Yeah.
But when he's not there, There's a difference. It changes
a deficit.
The attitude and the atmosphere and the everything about where he was. But as soon as he shows up, they all go right back to friends and sincerity.
We're not meant to be hidden, as in we hide the fact that we belong to Jesus.
No.
We're hidden in the fact that we're doing all these things in the world that are useful. We're supposed to be useful and productive.
We should be good
and
employees.
A blessing to other people.
We should be doing our job.
You should be the best employees.
That's right. We should be doing our job.
You should be
we
the
should
most
be
faithful.
Cheating money. We should be doing
the
everything
most
we're
dedicated.
To. Yeah.
You should be the best one they've ever
right.
hired.
They shouldn't have to worry that you're going to steal things.
Unfortunately, they hire people who are tares who say they're Christians and then they get a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? It keeps affecting it.
It does.
But a true born again believer ought to be the best person you have around. You should want them around because they're going to change everything they touch.
That's true.
And not because they're perfect.
Because they are not. We've said that a lot of times.
But they're alive.
Say that again.
And they're growing.
They're active.
And the works that they produce change the entire thing.
And they're lifting up. As they go.
It rises.
Because that's what meal does.
It rises.
When it has yeast, it lifts up and it spreads it out.
Yep.
Which is the same thing that the mustard seed did.
I like that, you know, how it actually works. As it's digesting the sugars and the flowers and all these things, is it's making holes. It makes a place for the air to get in. I think about how, you know, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And I think the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is breathed into us.
Mm-hmm.
That on the day of Pentecost, it was came down like tongues of fire, right? Like a mighty rushing wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what is the work that the church does in the world? We make room for the Holy Spirit to work. We're allowing him to fill all those little gaps and all those little places and expand it and grow it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making
and
room
we
for him.
And we are alive.
Right? Not, you don't see the yeast. Mm-hmm. You see the holes.
You see the place the air's working.
You
see the mustard seed bush or tree. You see the bread rise.
You see the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, I like that though. We're not saved by our works, but there will be works or you're not saved.
That's true.
There will be.
And I'm glad you said that because I always say it wrong and you have to correct me, but it's not by, it's the work that
we're
saves
not
me
saved by works.
Is that I believe in Jesus.
And
that's
you cannot
did,
separate though that you will
that,
work.
But you have to work. I mean,
you
can't
help it,
right?
You're brand new.
Or
you're yeast.
Just, or you're going to sit here and just do nothing.
Do you know what? That yeast just doesn't go, I don't want to be yeast today. Because you're yeast, you work.
I've had yeast that I thought right? maybe said that.
You do your thing.
That
you,
old yeast that's, got on my last
That's
nerve.
Again the thing, like we were talking about, you and I were talking about yesterday. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. You cannot possibly keep his commandments if you don't. Mm-hmm. He's saying, this is how you do it. Love me.
Mm-hmm. And let
you
me
can't do anything for anybody else unless you love me first.
Mm-hmm.
And when you love me, I'll enable you
I think
to do these works.
And I'll share this just because it's a point to make. I think we all have choices. I think every day we have to examine ourselves against the Word of God. I think that's why we have daily Bible studies and daily devotionals, is we have to hear what God has to say, right? God will speak to us through His Word. But there is always that choice.
Mm-hmm.
That choice of, am I going to waddle through this and just do it myself? Or am I going to accept his hand when he's saying, just, I'm right here.
Let that seed
Let me
grow.
Have it.
Let it have
Let
place
me
to
do
grow.
It, right? I'm
right?
the king.
I'm the dirt.
I'm the me, right? Jesus is
he's
saying,
the king
I'm,
and I'm
the king.
Dirt.
And when you think about, and I know this is a crazy analogy, and I'm sorry that it's a crazy analogy, but if you think about nail-scarred hands reaching down to you saying, you gonna let me do this? You gonna let me handle that? Or are you gonna just turn that away and go over here? And I want that.
I want him.
I want that. Right? And I think when he's telling them about this kingdom of heaven, I don't think they ever see Colorado till they get there.
I know.
Right? Because
I know.
There's just
this
no
is big
way,
picture stuff.
There's no way to even
this is zoom out. You know.
There's no way to even. We could sit here right now and talk about leaven and yeast and sourdough, and we could talk about it for a long, long time about how it flavors and what it does. We could just go on and on and on and how it's used in different ways and blah, 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 and we'd never get done. And he's just kind of introducing them to this whole idea.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, wow, bread. Yeah. I mean, bread. He didn't even, he didn't use it. And then, but then remember too, he's the bread of life. So can't you just see them after he's resurrected going, you know, you talked about yeast. He said he was the, can you see him starting to put it together? That's the part that I think is the most interesting when you have Bible study is you start, wait a minute, he said that. And then he said, well, look, it, and a new revelation, although it's not new, it's exactly what he's been telling you.
And the last verse of this chapter says, it isn't new.
It isn't new.
The last verse says, here's what the scribe that's right now what I'm saying is going to find out. He brings out treasures from the old and the new. They're the same story. Yeah. They're the exact same story. And this is what God has planned from the beginning.
And it's not a new story.
This is what he's planned from the beginning.
And that's what every picture of everything, all the time we went through the Kings and Chronicles,
same story.
Every picture of every king was trying to show you
who the king should
what the difference is between what we make kings and what the king actually is. And we went through that. And had you not gone through that, this might not have held so much.
And now, how gracious of the king.
Yeah.
To try to let us know, here's what you expect in the kingdom.
And now he's going to give you another mystery. Ready?
Yep.
Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. Now, so I might have said that maybe a little bit wrong. Maybe I should clarify that.
He did sit with the disciples. He did explain to the disciples.
But he's now got a multitude listening to him. So let's don't
34 look. Says that.
Yeah. Then 36, verse 36 says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.
We didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, you know, tell us that again. Can't you? Wouldn't it have been wonderful?
I mean,
aren't you? Yes, I think John says in his writings that if everything he said and did was written down, the world couldn't contain the books. And I always think, well, gee, I wish we had more than one, you know, because I would, you wonder about those things. But he says, they ask him, tell us about the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that's, and by the way, you know, and I know we say it every time this happens, when the scripture is interpreted itself, you've got to believe what it says, right? He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
The field is the world, all of us.
The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom.
That good seed that's growing, that's us.
But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then here's
that
line.
Ears to hear?
I love it when this, because
if you want to hear, if you want to know, you can know.
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then if you stopped right there and you go over to the end of Revelation, right? The taking up of those tares and the casting of them away into that, it's described in great detail.
Yeah.
That's what that whole book is about. His revelation of you see me as, I'm telling you I'm king, but you're going to see me be king over here. Because all those things that you feel like is unfair now, just wait. You're going to see.
I just want to be perfectly clear that there aren't people who are incapable of hearing.
No.
There are people who don't want to hear.
Right.
If you want to hear, hear.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. If you want to know.
You can believe it or you can stick to your own plan. You can decide you want to do it your way.
And he'll allow you to.
It's like those hands. If I want
to
say,
he'll allow you to.
I can either grasp onto this or I can just say, no. But then if you haven't read Revelation, if you haven't seen, because we just finished that one too. If you haven't seen Revelation and you haven't saw this king who says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather of his kingdom. I like that. All things that offend and them which do iniquity and shall cast them. And I don't like it as in I'm happy about it. I'm not. there's people I love that I want to see get to heaven.
But he'll take care of the separation.
I don't have to worry about
it. I don't have to worry about it.
And I can't decide it anyway. He sends angels to do that.
Nope. I'm just growing in the field. My job is to grow. Mm-hmm.
The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their
Father. It's hard to do to keep your eyes on that. But my sole job is to grow and bring him glory.
And keep.
To stick to the plan.
And know. But think about that. Just listen to that phrase. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It's not like.
Not as peasants.
No. It's my
That's
Father.
That's my dad.
That's my dad.
That's my dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to shine in his kingdom. I'm going to be. You know what the kingdom is like? The kingdom is like us being gathered together into his house. Mm-hmm. Into his barn and under his protection.
Can you think of anything more loving
right?
or kind than
the,
that?
The reassurance of that I don't have to worry about it, he's going to put me in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I get to go with him, yep.
I'm okay, in safety.
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, to some people that may not seem like such a good thing.
It is to me.
Because some fathers are not good fathers. I'll grant you that. But some of us lost fathers early. You lost a good father. I lost a good husband. He was a father. I can't think of anything more gracious and kind and gentle and loving than to know.
To be gathered.
That I'll be gathered in as the son.
Mm-hmm.
As the son. When you think, I mean, these aren't things.
That shall shine forth as the sun.
These aren't things that they can't understand. Mm-hmm. When you look at the sun and you see how it shines, you think, I'm going to shine like the sun? I don't know what blue in the river looks like, right? I don't know. I don't understand that, but okay. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. But I can believe it.
I can believe it because it's in here and Jesus said it's in red, by the way. Not that it had to be in red, but it was in there just to make sure you knew that. Verse 44, again the kingdom of heaven, one more time, is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buys the field.
Okay, listen to me. For everybody who says Jesus only died for certain ones, Jesus only accepts certain ones. He bought the whole field.
He bought the whole field.
He bought it all. His treasure's hidden in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard for us to see who's going, who's not going, who the treasure is.
But
it's
that's
hidden.
That's been the theme of the whole
but
thing.
But he bought
right?
the whole
the
field.
The wheats and the tares we can't tell apart.
And the leaven.
The leaven we can't see. The mustard seed is going to grow into this great big thing and everything's going to come to it.
He owns it all.
And he bought the field.
Whosoever will can come.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit and the bride say, come. Right? He's made, I keep, you keep jumping to Revelation, but that's where the end of this is. You keep jumping. He said you can come.
He said you could come.
You can be part of the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
He bought the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone disqualifies you for whatever reason, you take them to this verse and says, yeah, the treasure's in the hid. It's hidden in the field. But he bought the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
Come be part of the
and
treasure.
And that was the
right?
purpose of buying the
come
whole field. Kingdom of heaven is a treasure hid in a field.
And you know what? I am so humbled and so excited that he calls us a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this before in Sunday school. I will say it till the day I die. I'll just keep repeating this phrase. My dad and I used to watch Antiques Roadshow all the time.
Yes.
We would make fun of the people who would spend all that money on that piece of crap. Right? We would say, how could you say that that is $25,000? I wouldn't put that... Right? We would sit there and make fun of it. But he would always say, do you know what something is worth?
What you're willing
what
to pay.
What somebody's willing to pay for it. So when Christ says, and he is speaking, that we are a treasure hidden in that field, he can call me a treasure because he paid for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can say, but she isn't worth much. Who cares what you think?
Doesn't matter what you think.
Look what he paid for me.
Yeah,
I'm a treasure.
I'm
hidden
treasure.
In the field. The kingdom of God.
And I'm still going to shine forth like the sun.
Maybe you don't see it.
My Father's going to grab
maybe it's
bring
hidden
me
from you.
Mm-hmm.
But he sees me.
He sees me.
Right? And he bought the whole field to get me.
Mm-hmm. Again, the kingdom
right?
of heaven.
He didn't just go through a little bit. He did everything required to save every soul ever born.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be a part of it if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them won't want to. But he bought the whole thing to find his treasure.
So right here underneath there in my little handwriting I have, not just the treasure. He didn't buy just the
treasure. He bought the field.
He bought the whole world. He bought the whole
field. He redeemed the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And you might not identify me. He does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hidden.
My role right now is too. I'm kind of like the moon. I reflect the light. I'm still back up there
with
the
hidden,
sun.
We're pretty hidden, though.
We are hidden. But at some point, we're going to be like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just so many, and we're out of time, and we're not even finished with the 13th chapter, so we're going to have three.
We're going to do chapter 14 next time. We're just going to finish 13. Lord willing.
We say that, but we don't know.
There's this pearl, and there's this net. There's all these things. But still, I think it's very good to sit here and ponder these mysteries, ponder these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a reason Jesus tells you, if you want to understand how this works, because isn't that what you do every day? We go to college, we go to work, we go to training, we do these things to figure out how the world works. How's it work? How do I get what I'm supposed to get out of here and do what I'm supposed to be doing? And Jesus is sitting there telling us, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of simple.
I own it all, and here's how it works.
It's really kind of simple.
You are my treasure. That trust in me, and I'm going
to
buy
it. It is so simple, though a fool, you don't have to err from the way.
That's right.
You can't miss it unless you just, like it says, if you don't want to hear it, you don't have to hear it. But you can't miss it if you're paying attention.
He loved you so much that he bought the field.
He bought the field.
I love that.
I do too. And he doesn't tear you up to get the tears out of the way. He lets you grow. He lets you do your thing.
And allows that to make you obviously his.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, you are obviously his. And why is it so obvious? Because the tares don't look like you. They're not doing what you're doing.
Nope.
Right? And the longer you grow, the more obvious it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like that mustard seed, you never stop growing. You grow so big, other people get benefit of your growth because you grow so big. And like that leaven, you see the work of God.
We love bread.
You see the work of God, right?
Yep.
Touch every place. It's just... Yep. Keep thinking about what he's doing.
Yeah. Stop worrying about what's not going right. Start worrying about what's...
Quit focusing inward and focus on the big picture he's trying to show you about
and
what
his
kingdom is.
All right. I'm sorry we're out of time. We didn't finish 13, but we will. We'll get there. Thank you for joining us. Keep your Bibles open. You gotta have some excitement about reading what it says. I mean, you really do.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. And it'll expand and keep going,
and keep growing.
Thank you for joining us. See you next time. Stay battle ready.
You've been listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. If you have questions about what we studied today, or if you'd like to send us a message, you can email us at battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. You can also find more information on our website, www.addisonfwbchurch.org/Battle Ready Bible Study. Battle Ready Podcast. Believing what it says.